Well, hello everybody, and welcome to show number 140 from Engage for Success. And welcome to this week's guest, Maggie Pavlou. Thank you for joining us, Maggie. Maggie is going to be talking with us this afternoon about the role of recognition in employee engagement. So we've got a half an hour to talk about that, and I'm sure it's going to be an interesting show for you this afternoon. So I'm Jo Moffat. As regular listeners know, there's two of us. So I'm Jo Moffat, not Jo Dodds. I'm MD and founder of Woodread. We're a specialist ad agency, and we use brand to engage audiences on the inside and brand techniques to engage audiences on the inside in the same way that marketeers use brand to engage external audiences. So that's me. As I say, our guest this afternoon is Maggie. Maggie wears two hats. She's founder of PeopleGauge, employee engagement software, and also HR director of ParkDean. So I wonder, Maggie, tell us a little bit about the ParkDean role first, and then we'll talk a little bit about where PeopleGauge fits in with that. So how long have you been with ParkDean?
I've been with ParkDean holidays just over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Righto. And always in an HR role?
Yeah, I'm HR director here. I joined us in 2004, actually, as HR director. I've worked in the leisure field itself for about 30 years.
Right.
But in HR for about 15 of them.
Okay. So, but you've also, you're also founder of PeopleGauge. So tell me a little bit about that.
I am. PeopleGauge is an online survey tool. It measures employee engagement. Mm-hmm. Employee engagement is incredibly close to my heart. It's my thing. I think it's one of those really good tools and things that HR directors or HR people have at their disposal. And to be honest, I just got a bit fed up of using other people's products. And I didn't feel as though it was quite measuring what I wanted to measure, what I thought was right. And so several years ago, some very, very clever people helped me design something that I was more comfortable with and that I think addresses the gap in the market.
Right. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of how it fits with what you do at ParkDean in a moment, because clearly they sort of come together. So we're going to talk about recognition this afternoon. And recognition obviously is a topic that it's not new to Engage for Success Radio. You know, we've talked about it a lot. It's clearly an important one. What does it mean, you know, as far as you're concerned? What's recognition for you? Why is it such a key thing?
I think in all walks of life, and certainly all the sectors that I've worked in, getting the very, very best out of anybody, no matter what level they're at, junior, senior, whatever discipline they're in, somebody, their boss usually, but certainly their peers as well, recognising people just for the effort they've put in, as well as the achievement they've made, is really, really important. But to do that very, very authentic, very genuinely, not sort of thank you, but very, very genuinely is really key. You know, you see people, if you give them a handwritten note, they'll keep it forever. It's like when a child gets a gold star from the head teacher for the effort that they've put in, it makes them want to work hard, want to try harder. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I just think that's no different in the world of work.
Right, okay. Right. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. A little bit more, how we're going to make that happen. You talked about employee engagement being your passion, and yes. It's certainly mine and the team here at Woodread as well. And clearly, it's something that drives everyone who's involved with Engage for Success. So, how do you define it? I mean, if someone comes up to you and says, "Okay, tell me why is employee engagement so important to you?" How do you actually define your terms?
We sort of to have a bit of a catchphrase, which is about it. It's not a dark art, but if you get it right, it does work like magic.
Right.
To me, employee engagement is it's not about people being happy. It's not about them being satisfied. I think it's much more than that. It's about mm-hmm. them being actively engaged with the role that they're doing, with the job that you paid them to do, with mm-hmm. what it is that how they fit into the overall structure and how their piece of the jigsaw actually contributes to the business, and getting people to understand that, be actively engaged with it, actually owning part of it, allows businesses to get more out of their people, make more money. So it's not a warm and fluffy thing. I think long gone are the days of employee satisfaction, really. It is much more about a business tool, a metric that helps you identify where the good people are, because they don't come into work wearing sort of purple jumpers and yellow spots. You can't tell that easily where actively disengaged people are, but actually they can have a real drain on your organisation if you're not careful. So it's important to me that you can identify areas and pockets of people that are actively disengaged and do something about that. Mm-hmm. But that also you can check your passive people are, where the people are that are just fine, and you need, mm-hmm. you need people like that, but you don't want too many. And then actively engaged people, people that really drive things forward.
Right, okay. So just taking that into the context of Park Dean then. So Park Dean are a leisure park, yeah?
Holiday, they're well, Park Dean currently, 24 award-winning holiday parks. I think a little earlier, or possibly not, that we had a merger with Park Resorts, and we're even bigger, and just come together. So we're now one of the largest holiday park operators in the UK. But both in very, very similar fields, and established staff.
So how many people are we talking about in terms of employees there then, now, with the combined business?
Collectively, we've got something like 1,500 established staff and about 8,500 seasonal staff.
Right, that's something I'll want to talk a little bit more about in a minute, really, is the difference between the established staff and the seasonal, because I'm sure that must add a whole different dynamic, and that's something I want to touch on in a moment. So in terms of the leisure industry that you're involved in, I mean, do you think employee engagement is different in that sector? Are there particular things these are principles and we can apply them across everywhere?
I think principles of employee engagement apply right across the board to everybody. I think mm-hmm. some nuances within the leisure sector really are around the fact that our customers and our staff often don't go home. Often they live with us. They either live on sites, they're there 24/7, we're open Christmas, we're open New Year, we're open weekends. And lots of businesses and industries are like that, but it does add a slight different dimension to you need your people to be actively engaged 24/7. Customers are there all the time. So it's very, very important that everybody at every single level is giving fantastic customer service. And people can only do that if they are actively engaged with what it is they're doing, even if it's not in a direct customer facing role. One of the differences within our leisure sector is that the seasonal workforce, they join you at the beginning of the season, they're there, you need them to be high energy, they work through the season, they leave again, they come back for the winter season, they come back again. So you're getting people in and out on a regular basis several times a year, every year. And mm-hmm. so you need to make sure they're actively engaged all the time.
So from a loyalty perspective, there is quite a lot of people who come back season after season.
Yes, absolutely. And part of the reason that they come back is because of the working environment. They work, they love this sector. We're in the holiday sector, it's fun. But you do need to make sure that you get them actively engaged from day one, because you have a limited opportunity to impact on them, because they're not with you all of the time.
Of course. Okay, lovely. So recognition then. I think we've talked about employee engagement not being something that's pink and fluffy, and it's about business. And so does recognition run the risk of being the pink and fluffy bit of employee engagement, do you think?
Oh, I've just lost you there, but I think you what you're asking me. Was
okay. We were talking earlier that employee engagement isn't pink and fluffy. Employee engagement is about business and business success and commercial success. Sometimes you get the impression that people imagine that the recognition bit can be a bit pink and fluffy. And in your view, are they wrong to think that?
Yes, I do. I think it depends on the delivery. I think there is an element. Yes, you can occasionally spend a bit of time thanking people and recognising people for things that you can't necessarily directly measure. Mm-hmm. But if it's done over a period of time, if it's done in a considered way and in the right way, the positive impact that can have on people and therefore on their engagement levels and therefore on your business can all be tied together. So okay. I do think if you dabble in it, if you just do it very ad hoc, mm-hmm. you get a nice warm fuzzy feeling for a very short period of time.
Right.
But if you do it in a considered way, with a bit of structure, whilst allowing some scope for your genuine and authentic recognition, mm-hmm. that's spoke to the person, mm-hmm. then the positive impact on that should never be underestimated mm-hmm. on the then proactive impact they'll have on your business.
Okay, so in your experience, and obviously you've had a lot of it, not only within your role at Park Dean, but obviously from the reason what drove you to set up People Gauge, what works well is to have a planned and considered and structured approach. Yes,
within reason. I caveat that within reason, because I think you should have a plan, you should have a framework, mm-hmm. but I do think it's really important that managers are able to use that framework to recognize effort that is bespoke, so that if you wanted to recognize a bit of effort that maybe I'd done, I might like to be celebrated in an environment with my peers, mm-hmm. Other people might want it to be very private, because that would work better for them.
Right.
So I think structure is important, but doing what is right for the individual is more important. Mm-hmm. That one of the worst things I've ever seen is when people invite somebody in for a recognition event on their day off.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's not necessarily doing the thing. So you maybe then undermine what you're trying to do. So it's about it being very bespoke, but within an organizational framework that hits you up.
Yes. So it's like knowing, as with all things, it's understand your audience, know the person.
People know what's right for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of talk, isn't there, at the moment about the difference between introverts and extroverts. And while the example you've just used, an extrovert might be delighted to be dragged up on stage in front of everybody, even on their day off, they might be happy for that. Whereas an introvert, it's going to be absolutely the worst possible thing.
It could be a disaster. You know, I have had people say to me, or say it in the past, you know, I know I'm going to get this award, or this, can I not have that in public?
And yes.
It's important that then that you respect their values.
Yes.
Because otherwise you have them then wanting to shy away from over-delivering, so that they're not recognised, and that's, you know, really just not what it's all about.
Understand.
Being sensitive to the individual.
So can you give our listeners some practical examples of what you think's worked well, that you've seen work well in your experience then, Maggie?
Park Dean and Park Dean Resorts have both in the same sector, obviously, do various different things that have worked really, really well over the last few years. Mm-hmm. One of them is called a recognition cafe. Sounds a little American. It took a little while to bed in, but that's around providing a structure. That's your phone, not mine. Providing the structure.
Sorry. Okay, sorry. I think we just had a little bit of a hiccup in the recording there. So, Maggie, I apologise for that. But we were talking about the recognition cafe and how it took a little bit of time to get set up. But I was fascinated, actually, to read about that. So do tell us a little bit more about what that was all about.
Recognition cafes are, again, structured in the way of we actually ask all of our general managers to hold at least one once a month, but then very open to interpretation, and to managers to get the best out of their people by what they do at them is up to them. But we actively encourage all of our managers to find things to recognise and celebrate with their people, and whether that is some formal training, some great customer service, some people going off above and beyond employee of the month, some potential long service or contribution to values, and they celebrate that from everything from giving small awards to big awards, to having cake, to having cheese and wine, to having pool parties, whatever it is, whatever works
for those individuals. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just celebrate and find something mm-hmm. proactively every month to celebrate with a group of people. So mm-hmm. we invite their colleagues along, we invite their managers along, they can bring their families along just to witness their special person, if you like, being acknowledged in front of their peer group.
Right.
Something that they've done really well, and just being recognised for that effort.
Okay. And who should be doing the recognising? Is it, in your experience, is it best when it comes from the very top? Or is it best when it's done at a line manager or even peer-to-peer, really?
Without wishing to sit on the fence, I think it very much depends as to who's good at doing that. Some some very, very high-end managers are just not very good at giving public speeches. So the actual recognition part needs to come from your line manager. But sometimes if it's original, a bit of recognition from a peer group, as long as that's referred to, that's really important as well.
Right.
So quite often we have entertainers, for example, they are always recognised by our customers because they're front-facing, and so therefore we'd acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes somebody with kitchen will not necessarily clap eyes on a customer, or maybe some will be more recognised by their line manager or their peers or some mm-hmm. of their colleagues. So I think recognition at all levels is important. Who delivers the message, the line, linking it back to employee engagement, people are just really, really bothered about their immediate line manager and their peer group. It's the one person or the one group of people that really impact most on their day-to-day working life. Mm-hmm. Therefore, be involved in the process. Right. Obviously, you know, if it's escalated up the scale, some people, you know, take more, whether it's a chief executive or a head of department, being involved in that process as well, it gives a bit of gravitas to it.
Mm-hmm. So the recognition cafes, though, they sound quite fun, and but they're quite formal. I don't mean formal in the sense that they're formal, but they're formalized, because obviously they have to be set up.
They formulaic. Lots of our managers do, if I take one of the functional support officers, kind of a head office, if you like, they mm-hmm. take turns, whether it's IT, whether it's finance, whether it's HR, to take turns to host them. So therefore, right. they might have a different theme. Some of the general managers on parks, maybe one week it'll be held in the housekeeping, the other time it'll be held in the holiday and sales environment. Mm-hmm. And it's hosted by different people just to keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's used as a little bit of a business update, but that's absolutely not the focus. The focus is all around on the people and on what they've done well.
Mm. And you touched on a little bit about the sorts of things that people get recognised for. And what do you think are the most important things people should be recognised for?
I think it needs to be a combination. There has to be business contribution to business performance and celebration when people have just really had an impact on whatever your organisation is doing. So if it's profit, then it needs to be around sales and profit. But if that's not what your organisation does, it's whatever is particularly important to the organisation.
Right.
I think in terms of customer service, be it internal or external, that's always really, really crucial. Mm-hmm. And then we have an employee of the month contribution or something that and a variety of things like that. And quite often that's a bit old fashioned, and occasionally the usual suspects come up. So it's life to that. So we, for example, in Park D and Park Resorts, we tailor the employee of the month schemes to the values. So there has to be some evidence of people not just doing their job, but doing them whilst living the values of the company, yeah. demonstrating that.
Yeah.
But a combination of everything that's business critical.
Yes,
and then some sparkle stuff on the edges about all the stuff that's gone on.
Yeah. So again, coming back to the point that it's not just pink and fluffy for recognition's sake. It's actually the criteria, the rationale is entirely aligned with the business and the values.
Absolutely. If all you do is you'll recognise somebody's smiled a lot and made a great effort, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. It is around. Everything is around making sure people are actively contributing to the business, mm. and therefore highlighting when somebody's done that really well actually just naturally encourages other people to do more of it.
Mm-hmm. And we touched earlier on this enormous difference between the number of seasonal employees you have versus your established ones, but the fact that a lot of these seasonal people come back season after season, and I imagine also probably recommend. They're advocates for you as an employer, are they as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got a pretty, we have a high turnover rate because we have a season, so it comes to an end. But our return is really, really high, and our turnover within the season is really low, which is great. But it is important that from everything, from the way that you recruit to the way that you onboard and to the way that you train people, we really focus on actively engaging with our people at every stage of that process. Mm. Literally, you hit the ground running and feel part of, with Park D and Park Resorts. And ultimately, we're a holiday business. We should be fun to work with. We're not getting seriously wrong. I really think it doesn't really matter what it is that you do as a business, but that onboarding piece of when you get your staff from recruitment to onboarding to inducting, you have to cover customer service, values, and employee engagement at every single stage, but right at the beginning is crucial. Mm-hmm. So with staff, it's even more important that you get that right straight away, mm-hmm. because they they are the customer facing people, they make all the difference. Mm.
Do you find that our seasonal staff more responsive to, do they respond more to recognition than established ones do? Is there any difference, or is it just, no, these principles, it's human, it's humanity?
I firmly believe, I'm a huge believer in Maslow. I'm that junkie. I'm firm believer that actually it really doesn't matter. It could be the chief executive. If he gets the award, he's equally as happy.
Right.
I don't think the more you get paid, the more senior they are, the older you get. I don't really think anybody loses that nice warm fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
When somebody doing a cracking job.
Yes. Makes you feel good. Yeah, absolutely. And you talked a little bit as well about the kitchen staff, for example, versus the entertainers, those people who are really obviously customer facing and those people who are a little bit more behind the scenes. Do you have to just work a bit harder to try and bring those non-customer facing people along with you in terms of making sure they don't get left out?
That's really down to the skill of their managers, and I think the skill of maybe the general managers or the function head or whatever it is that really, and then we encourage those people to make sure that they proactively go out and find good evidences of good performance and things to recognise. So it's not as trite as maybe a school gold book for children where it's everybody has to take their turn. It's not what it's about at all. It is around being very targeted, very specific, but proactively going and looking for examples of great performance.
Yes,
in whatever the difference.
Yeah, so it's not, it's very much, it's not your turn, because that completely undermines the whole point of it, doesn't it, really?
No, people do that, and they do it, and they mean well, but it just has no significant or sustained impact. It has a, that's great, so what?
So do you brief your managers on how they should do this? Do you you said some people do it and they mean well, but presumably you have to train them to do this right.
All of the managers right across the board, we work on these are the basics. Do it like this. If you now then want to do more and add something to it and add your own flair and sparkle, by all means crack on. But at least do it like this,
right?
And that's what we do. We introduced last year a celebrating you event, which was something, I guess, a more modern version of a long service award, but actually recognizing people at 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, seven, all of those milestones where people are contributing to the business,
right?
And that's quite structured because everybody knows when their anniversary is coming up, and we celebrate that on the actual day of their anniversary of joining the business, whether it is their manager has to go up with either whether it's a birthday card if it's just 1 year, whether it's a certificate, whether it's an award, whether it's a gift on the anniversary, and that is they were trained in how to do that, they were briefed in how to do that, and again, so that the experience is at least as professional for every single person, no matter which part of the country in, which department they work in. Managers then on top of that can do their own thing.
Right, I see. So, people gauge, let's come back to that then. You obviously you wear two hats, and you said at the beginning that you scoped out the product or the software because you felt that a lot of the things you were finding as an HR director weren't delivering what you wanted. So tell us a little bit about what people gauge does then, and how do you use it at Park Dean? Because I believe that you do, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yes, I have to use right now. Yes, absolutely. People gauge is just a really, really simple way of measuring employee engagement. It's a online tool. It's 16 statements. People have to rate them on a 1 to 5 scale. So nothing new there. But what is new is that it's all based on Maslow's hierarchy, adapted across the way of working, and the way in which it does it, and the way in which it produces the reports. Some other surveys where you in effect have had 16 statements, one will reach the bottom, you fix that one, next time you do it, something else is at the bottom, fix that one, and it just never ends. People give reports in 5 themes, Maslow's hierarchy mapped onto work, and what that does is that focuses the managers on getting significant and sustained improvement rather than just fixing the bottom of the
right line. Okay, so rather than just fixing a little something tactical, a tactical intervention that then gets replaced by something else, this is actually, it's a small enough things to focus on to actually make a change rather than just twiddling something here and twiddling something there.
Absolutely. It gives managers a really focused plan. The reports are really to use, really active. We encourage PeopleGauge, encourage all of the clients to share all of the reports with all of their staff. And certainly in Park Dean's history, over the last 5 years, they've been using it. They've actively, we have actively increased our actively engaged population significantly and reduced our actively disengaged population to 4.4% now. So it's under 5%. Fabulous. So we're dealing with that.
Right. Okay. And does it break down to individual sites or function areas or?
Yes, the system breakdown is as you can slice and dice it whichever way your organisation filters. So, Park Dean, we break down about 4 or 5 areas based on location, geography, location or function, however you want to do it. Some of the other clients may sit down on 2 areas. Some have 30 areas. Right. But really, our advice is you break it down to how you manage your business so that it completely replicates how you organize and how you manage your business so people can do something with the results. I think historically people have done employee satisfaction surveys, employee engagement surveys. They do the survey, they produce a set of results, they stick them in a drawer and they do it again the next year, and then sometimes they're very surprised when they haven't moved forward.
Yeah,
the results are parked deep. The better our businesses, the better businesses that we have in the sector are the ones with the most actively engaged staff. So we can join the dots there, which pleases everybody.
Yeah, and proves to those naysayers that there is a direct and incontrovertible link between.
Absolutely. I'm delighted to say that if you walk into our finance director or our chief executive's office, they have their PeopleGauge scores there, because actually we have proved that. And they've done that themselves. That wasn't kind of a change management project. That's just a result of them really believing in, as trite as it occasionally sounds, if you get the very best out of the people, you make more money.
Why would you
not want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Absolutely. So interestingly, you're obviously at a very interesting point as far as Park Dean is concerned with the merger, which is literally, I think it's only the ink's only dry a couple of weeks or something, isn't it? I mean, it's very new, isn't it?
We're delighted with merged with Park Thoughts or Park Teams Thoughts, as a group. It's a fantastic opportunity. There's two really great businesses. Services absolutely complement each other. Our people all come with very similar values. There's obviously some merging to be done of cultures, but by and large, we come from both really sort of credible in our own sector, both really credible organisations with lots of shared synergies and values. So it's a bit of a match made in heaven. So I'm very excited about it.
Right. Okay. Good. And do you imagine then that it'll be a kind of business as usual as far as the sort of whole approach to recognition is concerned, as using the sort of recognition as the glue that will really start to bind those two businesses together?
I didn't quite hear anything you said there, Jill. I think you were talking about would we do business as usual while we were merging. Is that right?
No, not quite. No, I think unfortunately we've got a little bit of a poor internet signal coming in from you actually. Wherever you are, Maggie. So I've lost the video, but we've still got you on audio. I don't know if we still. Hopefully, you can still hear me. I was just wondering whether, as you try to align the two businesses, whether you see your recognition, your approach to recognition continuing as it has been. Do you see recognition as being an important part of the way that you glue the two businesses together?
It's going to be absolutely pivotal. The fact that we have similar businesses, but they have previously been aligned slightly differently in terms of how they're rewarded, how they're recognised. So we will have to do some work pretty quickly. We are doing some work currently on how we're going to align them so that everybody is working off from the same hymn sheet, if you like. So whilst we have now 73 businesses, we will be recognising all of our people in a consistent way and taking the best from both organisations and combining that.
Excellent. And just one final thing, really, before we finish, Maggie. It's been great having you on the show. So thank you very much. It's always nice to talk to somebody who is as passionate about the whole topic and really, really gets it and really, really demonstrates it and lives it. So thank you for that. And if there was one thing that you would like listeners to take away from the last half an hour, one thing about recognition, what would be your kind of one golden nugget, really?
about recognition.
Yes.
For me, it would to make it authentic and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And actually, it sounds a little contrived, but a handwritten note to a member of staff or a colleague or your boss to thank mm-hmm. them for something. Just mm-hmm. a thing that they keep with them, they stick it on the drawer and they keep all of it, and I would just do more of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's that value in somebody's taken the time to actually handwrite something and give it to me. It's really, you know, it is priceless, isn't it, really?
It is, but I think just keep it genuine, but equally make sure you're recognising people for the things that contribute to the business.
Yes.
And keep it focused.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, thank you, Maggie, very much for joining us. I'm sorry we've had one or two little technical glitches along the way, but it's I hope that's not impacted on your enjoyment of being on the show with us today. So all that remains for me to do before we say goodbye is just to do a quick plug for Engage for Success's Christmas show, which is on Monday the 14th of December, and we're going to have a live recording with Sing and Inspire. Sing and Inspire were an organisation who were on the show 18 months or so ago, talking about how they use singing and choirs within organisations to create engagement and communities and so on. Some of you may have seen them involved with the Admiral work around the Rugby World Cup recently. But they're coming along to join us at St Martin's in the Field, which is a lovely location to be for Christmas. And we're having a live show recorded at 3:30 on Monday the 14th of December and broadcast as usual. We very much welcome anyone who wants to come along and have a sing with us. So look on the Engage for Success website if you want to find out more, or get in touch with either Joe Dodds or myself through LinkedIn, and we'll hope to have a full house there. And I'll just say thank you very much, Maggie, and thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.